What makes you passionate about food? Why do you love writing about it? Tell me about your journey.
People.
People.
It's about the people. The reason I love writing about food is people. I get to travel around the world and meet people. I get to travel around Australia and meet people who grow the food, who prepare the food, who cook the food, and the people who eat the food. Everyone has a different story to tell, and that's where I get my information from.
That's amazing. Now, being a food writer seems like a dream job for a lot of people, myself included. I'd love to travel the world meeting amazing people and eating great food. What makes a good food writer? What advice would you have out there for anyone kind of aspiring to be a food writer?
Shut up and read.
Okay.
Shut up, it means because if you're talking, you're not listening to people. And if you're writing them, not reading, then you haven't done your homework. You need to understand there's a whole canon of literature that comes before in every field of expertise. And if you haven't understood that, then you haven't understood that, you know, you're just a drop in the ocean.
Okay. Now, your new book, it's called Brain Food. You're publishing excerpts from your food column of the same name. What were some of the oddest questions over the years that you've had come in from readers?
Hold your breath, because one of the most interesting questions was why doesn't my pee smell after I've eaten asparagus? Why does my pee smell? This was and by the way, we don't take ourselves seriously in this, as much as food is serious because it feeds us every day. You can't take it seriously because it just can't be, because this poor woman has written in and said, why doesn't my pee smell? And we had to explain to her, well, most people's pee does smell after they've eaten asparagus, because there's a compound called aspergine that's produced by an enzyme in the body.
Okay.
And as this compound breaks down, it produces this smell that happens really quickly. But there's two things could be going on, madam, I said. In this column, I said one could be that you might not have this enzyme in your body, and so you wouldn't produce the compound. Or two, a small number of people physically can't smell the compound.
Really? Wow.
So the woman had written in that it was her friends had mentioned that, you know, that they could all smell their pee, but she couldn't. And so the only thing she could suggest to the poor woman was perhaps she and one of her other friends go off and do a little bit of experimentation.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. I'd love to. Did you ever find out the answer to that, what route she went down?
No, we didn't hear back from her. I tried.
Oh, how funny.
Luckily, we didn't publish a full name of the case.
You must come across some really, I like that one, some really outstanding questions and some real moments. Was it hard to whittle down what to keep in the book?
It's pretty easy. It was basically, we wanted to cover a whole area of field. So in the book, in Brain Food, we've covered off on baking, on how to look after meat, chicken, vegetables, how to look after your cupboard, how to actually health and safety in the cupboard.
Wow.
Health and safety in the fridge, and to basically where, etiquette. There's a huge section on etiquette. People, we had a great discourse on bread rolls, because someone said, a young bloke had written in, said, my girlfriend, thinking about dumping me because she doesn't like the way I cut my bread roll at the restaurant with the bread knife.
That's pretty harsh.
It was pretty harsh, but they've obviously been brought up in different ways, because he thought, right, no, I actually don't care. You could come to my place, Jess, and you could face plant on the table and eat the bread roll with your hands tied behind your back. I do not care. But if you are going to, say, dine out, and you are going to be in a situation where you're out in public and people will be judging you, and I don't like people to judge other people on this, but you should know that if you're going to have a bread roll, goes on the left hand side on the bottom on the bread plate.
Mm-hmm.
One takes it in one's hands, and one breaks it open with one's hands. One does not cut it with a knife.
Really?
One takes the butter knife and then goes to the pat of butter on the table, and one takes a small piece of butter from the pat of butter, places on one's butter plate above one's bread plate, and then butters the bread from there.
Now, that is very specific and not at all what I do, so I think I need to read that.
I'm not being judgmental, but it's just in case you go to Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, and the Queen's there. Don't want to embarrass myself.
When you get your Order of Australia for broadcasting and more, And you sat down next to an Esther Queen, and it could happen shortly because Prince Philip might be there too. and you'll know what to do, and you'll thank me.
See, this is all very important. Now, see, the biggest fight I have in terms of culinary etiquette with my boyfriend in particular, and this has started many a fight in many a restaurant, is he doesn't believe he needs to put his knife and fork together when he's finished eating. He can just leave it kind of to the side of the plate, and that is a great source of contention in my relationship.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I've got one little piece of advice. Dump him! No.
He's a good egg otherwise, but no, I have considered it.
It's a matter of etiquette. It's a signal. It's a signal that you finished.
Yeah.
It's a signal to say we're in someone's house. You've got your knife spread open on the plate. Knife and fork spread open on the plate. It's still a signal that you're still eating.
Exactly.
And so no one else will be finishing their meal, and the meal won't be finished until the last person has finished eating.
There we go. If you're listening, darling, that's it. I've won. This argument is mine.
And then you also, if you're in a restaurant, it's a signal to the waiters that you finished, means that the table's then finished dining, and they can clear the plate.
Mm.
Conversely, what is really, really bad is when you haven't finished eating, you've got your knife and fork on the plate, they're still splayed open, and there could be a small piece of a morsel, that little bit of gravy you still just want to touch, you still haven't finished, you still don't want to finish eating,
yep.
And they take your plate away. I find that really rude.
Really? I do too. I really, really hate that. That has got to be a pet peeve of mine.
One of the most common things was talking about baking.
Okay.
Baking is an art, and we learn that baking from others, because you just can't read a recipe and learn how to bake bread.
Mm-mm.
You have to actually be shown how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And same with scones. And one of the common questions we get every winter is, why are my scones tough? And we simply say, look, it's all about the gluten. You don't want to work the gluten like you do in bread. So as soon as you put the liquid into the flour and the butter that you've mixed together, gluten starts forming. So as soon as you put the milk or whatever you're adding liquid into the mixture, you just bring it together to make the roughest dough possible. You don't want it to be smooth. It can look like a shaggy dog. That's perfect. Because as soon as you start working it together, the gluten starts forming and your little scones will be short, they'll be hard, and they'll be more like biscuits.
Now, food trends. You've dedicated an entire chapter to food trends. Before I let you go, because we are going to have to wrap it up in a second, are there any you think are due for a comeback?
The vol-au-vent. I love the vol-au-vent. I really think the prawn cocktail needs a comeback, simply because I just want to see those little prawns hanging tail first out of a cocktail glass.
I love it. I think that so when I get my order of Australia, when I'm sitting there, I want to see prawn cocktails in front of us, and I'll know exactly how to use my how to open my bread. Richard, it sounds like you've put together like a really fantastic book here that people are thoroughly going to enjoy reading. We have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks.